So it's important for us at the mission to be sharing with people about how they can really change their lives. Tell me maybe one or two stories that have impacted your life of folks that have been through the program that, you know, Adam looks back and goes, you know, over my 13 years of being here at the mission, boy, I remember this guy or this girl.
Yeah. Oh, I could tell so many. I could tell in 13 years here, almost 13, I could tell a dozen stories every, you know, week and month and year. But my first week here teaching, the first week I taught a class, we were co-ed, like all the classes were co-ed at the time. We're not all co-ed right now. But I had a class and we were talking about how God is good, period. Whatever he does, he is good. He is right. He is the creator. He decides good and bad. And I remember a hand went up my first week, probably first class with this group. And this lady raised her hand and she said, my mom and dad were biological brother and sister. And then she said, and dad would physically and sexually abuse us. And mom found out one day and shot him and killed him. So mom then was taken to prison and we were put in foster care where we were abused until we finally got out. And her question was, tell me how God is good.
Wow.
I will never forget that. Yeah. You know, like that. And so,
like one of the first questions you've ever had.
Yeah. The first, you're just starting out. Yep. Now I'm, now as a seasoned teacher, I got a bunch of crazy under my belt that's been fun. It's been fun.
Yeah.
That one wasn't even a crazy. That was just, that's the life of some people. I mean, that's some real hard-hitting things. And then if you don't believe it yourself, if you don't live and rest and trust in a good God who gives good gifts to his children, if you don't trust that he is good, you start to waver. And so you've got to really shore up your own faith. And I remember the first few months trying to fit in, and I didn't. I wanted to fit in here. I wanted everybody to feel like I was just one of the guys. And I walked back to the overnight. This was my first week, too. I think my second day. I walked back to the back, and I didn't want anybody to think I was intimidated by them. There's some big, burly men, you know, got long beards, and they're pretty stout folks back there. And so I remember walking back there and seeing one in particular. I didn't want to seem like I was intimidated, so I walked up to joke with him. And I walked up to the guy, and he had a Nickelback shirt on. And I remember I walked up and I said, dude, you're wearing a Nickelback shirt. They're terrible. They stink. What are you doing? And he looked up and he goes, I'm homeless. This is my shirt. And, you know, pulling my foot out of my mouth my second day there. And I remember taking pictures of some of them to put in our software because we had just started the new Spiro software back then. And I had to take pictures of everybody. And I remember getting cussed and spit on and all kinds of things. And all of that, I think those are so impactful, whether I know their names or not even. Yeah. It's so impactful because for me it was, I'm here for people. And so I've been so worried about me and where I stand. Do I look right? Do I say the right thing? Am I doing the right? Really, people need to be loved so they can see your faith before they ever even hear your faith.
Yeah.
And so it's, do you care about people? And having to really decide that at the beginning, like, are we going to just make this a process and a program and you just get people through four steps in a year? Or is this about people? And sometimes it's difficult. We got some going through four and five times through the program. But there are so many I could tell you that have been impactful. A lot of our staff has been through the program. And so those are relationships that I've built that I would say once they graduate, I'll call them friends.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be a almost a wall while it's program and director.
Yeah.
Because there
you
has
can
to
be their buddy, but not their best friend.
There has to be the line for discipline and every other. Yeah. But once they're graduated, to become friends where we're spending time not just like going to the mall for a Bible study, but where we're spending time all the time calling, texting, you know.
Yeah.
And so we've got chaplains like that. My coworkers are like that. My boss, Justin, is like that. I message him probably every day.
But he didn't go through the program.
He didn't go through the program. I just mean people here
become
that way. But guys in the program, There's so many that have impacted my life and taught me a lot. There's one right now who has recently been put out for fighting, and I've got notes in my Bible that I took from things he has seen and in his study. And just because somebody's gone, it doesn't mean they're not, it doesn't discount everything or discredit everything they said while they're here. They're not fake because they messed up.
Yeah.
We don't just put people out of a program if they mess up. That is not our goal. We want to teach people to fail well. The psalm says, the righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up.
Hmm.
Well, if we're putting them all out every time they make any mistake, there's no getting back up. We're telling them the same thing that every behavioral treatment place is telling them, that if you messed up, you're back at square one.
Hmm.
We don't give people chips for their 30-day and 60-day, your 10-minute chip because you've been sober.
Yeah.
Because if Noah on the ark had slipped and fallen in some poop, you got a bunch of animals there. If he slipped and fell in some poop, he didn't drown because he's still on the ark.
Yeah.
He would get back up and keep going. And the same is true for us in addiction, in struggles, in whatever the situation is, whatever people come here for, if they trip and stumble, they have not drowned. We can get back up and keep going. And so that's our goal here through the program, all four steps. Is
what's your favorite success story that's been here?
I
know you've got a lot, and it's tough to pick one.
I don't know how to say one. I look at how many of our staff have come through the program, and it's just such a good feeling to see people standing, and not just standing and going. We've got some that come back and pour in, or some that give financially, or some that have gone. It gets discouraging here a lot of times to see people repeat, and we think, oh, we must not be doing right because we've got, here's 10 people repeating the thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're prevalent and right here in front of us. There's so many that we don't see every day because they have made it through. They're plugged into a local church. They're serving in some capacity. They're pouring into their community, giving back, living their life, having their family and their job. And so every one of those that I don't see is probably the most encouraging to think on the people who have stepped up and got plugged in. They're serving and giving God glory with the way they live their life.
Well, you've mentioned a couple times staff members, and we've interviewed some for this podcast already about how their lives have been changed. When I walk up and down the halls, or if I'm giving a tour and I see them walk by, I don't think of them as being program people,
right?
Because Christ has changed their lives so much. Christy was in here a few weeks ago, and when I talk about Christy being in the program, I'm like, I forget about that sometimes because, she's been with us as an employee for so long now and been very successful and been, a churchgoer and very faithful to the Lord. And I think about it and go, well, Christy was in our program, but that's the success that's been part of that. So when we think about stories of hope, in your mind, what does that mean with what the mission does or what other missions across the country do? What are stories of hope?
Nobody lives life based on the facts. Nobody lives life based on their circumstances. Everybody lives life based on their interpretation of the facts. That's Paul David Tripp. And you do not suffer the thing, you suffer the way you suffer the thing. And so hope comes when you know how to walk through the suffering. Not that it would be removed. Not that we fix somebody so they no longer have a struggle. Not that we fix somebody so they no longer have debt. But that they know how to stand firmly when it gets stressful. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, John 17, when he's praying for the disciples, he says, I do not pray that you remove them from the world, from the tribulation, just that you would give them strength to endure, just to get through all the things. And so the stories of hope is not about removing possibility for failure, removing all the obstacles that are out there, because they're out there. And even if you change location, even if you get away from what's familiar, you've got opportunities to find drugs, alcohol, anywhere you go. It is everywhere. You can move to another state and they've got it there too. And so it's not enough to fix the problems. It's that we change the source internally. It's a systemic issue, not an outward issue. It's not that there's drug, marijuana, alcohol, naked people are not the problem. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
God makes all of those things, not to be crude, but God made all of those things. They are not the issue.
Yeah.
Our heart, the systemic, we are filtering everything through us, and our interpretation of the world is the problem. So if we can get our mind, set our mind on things above, not things here on earth, the systemic issue is taken care of. And now you don't have to quit cussing, quit drinking, quit smoking, quit whatever. We say all the time, don't quit something, pursue someone, pursue Christ. And stories of hope. Hope is not that you have no more trouble and that you no longer struggle with addiction, but in your struggle, you learn to stand and fight. You learn to wrestle, because there will be more struggles.
Yeah, and, you know, I say this all the time. I'm the CEO of the mission. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Mm-hmm. I still have all those tendencies, but through years of research and reading the Bible and fellowshipping with others, there is something that we do gain that helps us through those times. Yeah. And that's especially when we're with our faith in Christ. But, you know, some of the other things that we put in place too, of making sure we're faithful to church and that we're, you know, got our friends around us that are building us up and then will hold us accountable. Those are all things that help us through those things. And that's why before we talked about some people that look down at homelessness, or they look down at the drug addicted. Boy, I'm a sinner just like any of the guys that are there.
Yep.
It only takes one sin. And it doesn't matter what that sin is, right? For us to break that tie with God, because we're born in sin from Adam. And I always say this to my, when I was raising my kids, I said, you know, when you're 2 years old and you have that cookie crumbs on your face and your mom comes in the room and says, hey, did you have cookies? Oh, no, not me. Now, as parents, we don't teach our kids to lie and cheat and steal, right? We don't train them to do that. They come by it naturally. And so, but what it does for us is we grow in our Christian walk. We have those things in our lives that we're able to look back on and say, man, I don't need to do that. Partly that's because we're trying to have a better relationship with God. You know, it's by our fruit, right? But yeah, I love what the mission does, and I love that you have a heart for helping those who are caught in some bad situations sometimes. And you tell me all the time, hey, you know, I've talked to Adam about, hey, maybe some promotions in the future. He's like, listen, I want to do what I'm doing right now for the rest of my life. Why is that?
Where I am now, I get to work with the curriculum, so I can trust that I know what's being taught here, for one.
Yeah.
Because you bring some other person in and just give them free rein to do, who knows where they go. But I love getting to have part of the curriculum we do, the counseling, the teaching, and to have a different position or a higher position, or there's more administrative, there's more meetings, there's more, and I want to be here with the guys.
Yeah.
You know, that all those things are necessary. I'm thankful for the boss that I have right now who does all those. He is so often busy, and even now writing some grants, doing some things.
Yeah.
Does a great job in all of it, but I'm so thankful that he does that so that I can do what I do. And I want to be there. I want to be right where I am.
If Adam today was to talk to a young person that's out there struggling with their addiction or homelessness, or not just a young person, anybody, if they're here and they hear this podcast, what would you say to them, whether they're here in Huntsville or, you know, North Alabama, or if they're around the country, what would you tell somebody that's struggling in that position? What would you tell them to do?
First and most, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who will give without reproach. He'll give it freely. And if there's a struggle in faith, if there's a struggle in addiction, any of it, I would say ask every day a good father who knows how to give good gifts for wisdom every day. Every day. Wake up, and if nothing else, if you don't say any other prayer, don't read your Bible, don't do anything, ask for wisdom, and I guarantee he begins to speak and move and work in that life. But also being plugged into a community of people who love Christ and love people, love others, to be connected to that. Come here. We got that. Even the people who aren't in the program yet, we've got two chaplains who meet with them regularly, daily. They're trying to go through 300 folks trying to, and so we go back there and talk to. I know I go back there sometimes and just sit with some of the guys that are back there to talk to them about the program, what we have on our side.
Yeah.
And but honestly, how can a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119:9. By guarding it according, keeping it according to every word of God, all of his word. I'm going to point there first and most. I know a lot of people think that you need behavioral changes first. If you change behavior first, it's a miserable dry drunk that you see a lot of times, because behavior changed, but nothing internal has changed. So it's still the longing and the desire for something that's destructive, and just saying no to it. Why not change internally so that everything else naturally changes? If you're running after Christ, the language doesn't need to be. You want to quit cussing? Don't quit cussing. Run after Jesus. That language doesn't follow there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And so I would point them to Christ.
Yeah. And if they wanted more help, they could go to a mission locally or, you know, we've had people from around the country come to our program because they hear it's free. And Adam, I love that you have a heart for all that you do. And I love the ministry that you found here at the mission after coming as a magician for a Christmas party for staff. Now you've been on the staff for, like you said, almost 13 years. Your passion and love for the guys and girls in the program is exciting for me to see, and exciting for others to see, because I know at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who comes in your door, that you're going to want to try to share Jesus Christ with them. It doesn't matter if they've been in prison for 30 years for something really bad, or if they are we've had 17, 18-year-old guys come through the program and you want to meet with them, have just started out on their walk, right? And I love that you do that. Any parting words that you might say to anybody that's out there today about, you know, the reason why we do these podcasts is we're really trying to show that there is hope in Jesus Christ, but that these stories of hope are examples of how people have changed their lives. Any thoughts?
Honestly, just watch. Just watch us. If you see Christ at work in us, come follow. We'll point you to him, you know?
Yeah.
I had a pastor once, the pastor that married my wife and I. I remember, now I'm nervous to say this on podcast, but he wasn't the best public speaker. And I remember his wife pulled me aside and she said, "Look, I know he's boring. I'm sorry if you were watching this." She said, "Look, I know he's boring, but watch the way he lives and see if you want that."
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was, for me, that's it. I hope that all of our staff, I hope that our team, we have a good team. I hope that we give reason to believe.
Well, Adam, I'll tell you this. You're not boring. That's one thing. Did you get all your words in today? I want to make sure
close enough.
What's the one word you didn't get in? We'll get in there.
Epidermis, I forgot.
Okay, we'll put it in a sentence and we can leave.
We're good.
Okay. So after he didn't have the word epidermis, how many lists of words did you have?
I only had three.
Okay. Well, you failed then. So, well, Adam, listen, it's been a privilege to have you here on the podcast, and appreciate all the lives that you've helped influence towards Christ and the stories of hope that have come from those. And I've just asked that if you're out there in the community, keep Adam and his team in your prayers. There are some struggles going through when you're working with people one-on-one. And the stories that I've heard when they first come in are not the stories that we hear that after they have success, which is great. But we want to love on each one of them. And we thank you so much for being part of this podcast. And we thank Adam for being here today. And look up his games if you see him online or something. We'd love for you to purchase one of those games. Or look up his Instagram, is it on? Mm-hmm. And you can get, there's Adam Sketches, is that what it is?
Casey. Sketchbook.
Okay, sketchbook, and you can see all his sketches on there, and he'll even sketch you if you send him a picture. So give you some work there, Adam. Anyhow, this has been Stories for Hope. Again, this is Keith Overholt, President and CEO of the Downtown Rescue Mission. Thanks for watching.